I always promise I'll turn my mic on, and sometimes I forget. It's not the first chapel, but it is the first Monday chapel. Happy Labor Day. Labor Day, we're laboring. Hey, before I get started, two quick announcements. If you are a female, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, I invite you to sign up for a woman's small group. We'll get a chance to investigate the book of Genesis deeper. There are women who are prepared to lead you in this, and it's gonna be great. You can go to our website, grow.hope.edu, and there's a link to sign up for that. So I encourage you to do that this week. Also, if you are a junior or senior, male and female, or female, I invite you to, and you're interested in signing up to be a leader for a spring break mission trip. Also go to grow.hope.edu and you'll find information there. So if you think maybe you want to lead one of our spring break mission trips, go check it out, grow.hope.edu. Grow. It's a great little transition for me today because I wanted to share a little story for you of something kind of big that happened to me this summer, or actually really last spring, kind of this summer. I became the super of my apartment complex. I know. Now, I should say, before you get too inflated of what that looks like, my apartment complex consists of two apartments in an older home, 346 Pine Avenue. So there's just two apartments and a yard. But in becoming the super, one of my jobs was to become the caretaker of the yard, to mow and weed and try to keep track of the landscaping that was there. So last spring, I take my job pretty seriously, whatever it might be. So I was pretty pumped to like kind of explore this creative side of getting out there and doing some things. And I noticed something right in the spring. I noticed what I thought was misplaced beach grass because we had had an incident with a snowplow sometime in the winter, which means sometime between November and April when there was a lot of snow. A snowplow had come and kind of ruined some of the landscaping, and I thought, oh, some of that's going to be transplanted. So when spring came, in the middle of the yard, all of a sudden there was these like much larger pieces of grass, and I was like, that is some of the beach grass that needs to go back in the like buffer where it goes. So I got out my tools and dug it up. There was a lot of it. Dug up it, and it was bulbed, so I was like, oh, for sure, this is something legit. So I stick it in the dirt, and I'm really proud of myself, and my friend Kathy comes over, and I show her my work, and look, Kathy, look, she also happens to be one of my landlords. I'm taking my job seriously. I just transplanted all of this back to where it's supposed to be. She looks at it. She pulls one up. I was a little bit of a gas because I'd really worked hard. And she looks at it, and she's like, she just laughs. She's like, Kate, those are wild onions. Now, no, I guess wild onions are things that you want to pull out and get rid of. They're not really something to cultivate or transplant. So now, I don't want you to make the same mistake. So what I tried to do this weekend was go and actually find some wild onions to show you what they look like. Unfortunately, I guess it's not wild onion season anymore, or I pulled them up. But I want to show you what wild onions don't look like. That, see, on the right there is beach grass. Now, you might be confused and think that that is what a wild onion is going to look like. But no, that's not what happens, all right? So that's me saying, no, not a wild onion. That's not what they look like. Now, don't worry, I didn't get discouraged. The next picture you can see, I actually still continue to work hard. This is an action shot. Digging up, that's actually the area where I transplanted the wild onions. They're not there anymore, I dug them up again. And then the last picture I just want to show you is, I worked so hard, I'm not making this up. I worked through the gloves. Can you see that on the tips there? The tips there, they're gone. Yeah, that might have something to do with the gloves are probably a little small. But anyway, ended up with dirty hands. Dirty hands a lot. Dirty hands, dirt. Hear these words from the book of Genesis. Then God formed man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils. And then the man became a living being. Then God formed man. Now, the Hebrew word here is Adam, which obviously is where we get the name Adam. God formed this being from the dust of the ground. The Hebrew word for ground is adama. Adam, adama. Being, dust of the ground. Do you see a connection between Adam and the ground? We are, in a very real sense, dirt people. That's what we are. And what I love about this account is I think it creates this idea that God didn't just sit back and say, and zam, you people. No, God got his hands dirty. God formed from something he had already created something else. God created us, created humans. And then we're very connected to all that else that is created. But what distinguishes us, and this is very important, is that God breathed the breath of life into our nostrils. And this is what has made us a very living being. We are dirt people. And what does God do with this one that he's created? He plops them down in a garden, right? And last night, if you were in the gathering, you heard the account of creation and the ordering of things and the creation of this place where Adam now finds himself. And I think a lot of times we are quick to envision this utopia where everything is perfect. And Adam's job, human's job, is basically not to screw it up. To weed when you have to weed, not to replant the wild onions, and just keep everything in order. But that's not really what we find. For what's one of the first tasks, actually, that Adam is given? He gets to name the animals. Now, do you think it's because God, who just created things into being through his very spoken word, suddenly just kind of ran out of creative juices and was like, you know what? Done. Tired. I got nothing left. I just did all this. You take care of the naming. No. God does this because God invites us to be co-creators, to create culture, just as God created culture. God invites us to be creative, for we are dirt people who have been created to create. Andy Crouch, in an excellent book called Culture Making, says, God is the first gardener, and we who are created in, God is the first gardener, the first culture maker, and we created in God's image are called to create culture as well. We are creative people. Now, I know some of you, and I know some of you out there are thinking, No, Kate, you do not know me. See, I'm the one who struggles with stick figures and people can't even tell it's a person. Or, you know, I'm the one that has two left feet, I cannot dance whatsoever. And I understand that, I feel you, I hear your pain, because here's the thing. It really wasn't until later in my life that I began to think of myself as a creative person, because I had been surrounding myself, or I had really, really artistic people in life. You know, the kind of people who can like spend a couple hours painting and they'll have a painting that people will drop big bucks to buy, right? Or I knew people who could, through their movements, tell stories or evoke emotions through dance, or actually simply just wear anything and look creative as much as it clashed. I mean, there's just something about those people that just oozes creativity, and I thought, I am not one of those because I struggle with stick figures and I like to match, so I'm not creative. But what I realized when a friend of mine one year, my friend Tracy, challenged me in that year to use my creativity more, my first thought was, oh, well, I'm not a creative person. But having her say that made me realize that perhaps I had a limited view of what it meant to be creative. For we've all been created to create. And what does it mean to create? It means to make something new. And all of us do that. We do this with our words in the classroom when we write papers. We do this on the volleyball court where we take a simple play and execute it. We do this in our conversations. When we contribute to a conversation, we're creating something new in the conversation, perhaps changing it, perhaps adding to it. We're constantly creating. We do this when we create a meal, we are creating. Even if it's simply taking the noodles and the cheese packet and the hot water and making something, you've created with a lot of help from Kraft or whoever it is, but you are creating. We create when we pray, when we sing. We are creating something new. And what are we creating? But we're creating culture. Now, hear me clearly. We as Christians have not been called to create a separate or a different culture. Often we talk of that, or that we are to withdraw from culture. No. We see that in the book of Genesis. We are plopped right in. And God says, cultivate, create, do this. For the only way we can change culture is to create more of it. And that's what we're called to do. Now, I challenge you, as dirt people, people who are connected to this earth and connected to one another, to begin to think of yourself as creative, for you are creative. And if you're still out there thinking, nope, not me, I challenge you. This is my challenge. Spend some time with someone who you do consider creative and see what happens. When I was living in the Dominican Republic and working for Young Life, we had a video intern come from Sweden. Patrick the Swede is what we call him. Great guy, Patrick. One of my tasks was to drive Patrick around and help him get the perfect shot of the country for the video, because we wanted to create this promotional piece of this is what the Dominican Republic is. I spent hours with Patrick in the car having him say, pull over. And I'd be like, Patrick, we already got that shot. And he'd be like, no, but this one's better. And I tell you what, I was very annoyed with Patrick sometimes. I love Patrick, but I didn't have a lot of patience for that. Here's an interesting thing. After hours of doing that over a course of a few months, long after Patrick left the country, I found myself driving around constantly thinking, ooh, that's a great shot. Oh, Patrick would love that one. Oh, yeah, look at that. And I began to see things differently and began to realize that I could see things differently. I didn't need Patrick the Swede to show me these things anymore, but it was in me, because creativity is contagious. We are called to create together. So that is my challenge to you today, to know that you have been created to create. And here is the great challenge. For God creates things that are good or beautiful. We, unfortunately, have the ability to create things that aren't so. Our creation can easily destroy or deflate. And it happens in our words and our actions. But we are called to create a culture that inspires, that calls others into creativity with us. Then God formed Adam from the dust of the Adamah and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and then he became a living being. We are dirt people who have been created to create. So the question is, what are we creating? Let's pray. God, you have breathed life into us, and I pray that we will do it again today, that you'll breathe new life into us, that you'll begin to open our eyes to the culture around us, that you'll begin to show us how you are calling us to create more of it. Thank you for the gift of your body and how we complement one another. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace. Enjoy your Labor Day.